What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What is up? Big debate tonight. Am I right?
About the Royals game?
Yeah, why are we arguing
debating
about
how great we are? Which is great.
We will be carrying the debate tonight between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Our coverage starts at 8 o'clock.
The first evening. And potentially only.
I would just like to move.
And we're done talking about the debate.
There's a motion on the floor.
Okay.
Because this is such an important evening and such a glorious day outside that we back up that coverage to 3 o'clock.
3:30?
I don't have left time.
4 o'clock.
Wait, is this a replay of yesterday's show?
No, I'm just re-motioning the motion, Sam.
Denied.
Under Robert's rules of order, I would like to retable the tabled motion.
Is that double jeopardy?
I don't
what?
Know. I don't know.
You're making my head hurt again.
Wait, tabled means we're going to revisit it later. It was just flat out rejected.
It was rejected.
It was.
We even asked the boss, and he was like, swing and a miss.
Nice try. Nice try. So coverage starts at 8 o'clock tonight. We did not do terrible jokes last Tuesday.
We did not.
So we will do that if I could put the motion on the floor at 3:45 this afternoon.
Oh, you get to make a motion.
I made the motion. You get to second it, and he gets to third it.
Parks, that was some bad timing.
Fine.
But I'm in favor, so I say aye.
No.
Second all of the motions that are on the table.
Why don't you make the motion?
No, I'm not making
and
the motion.
I'll second
I've already
it.
Made the motion. I will second it.
Okay. We're not taking debate coverage at 4 o'clock.
There isn't debate coverage at 4 o'clock.
I know. It would be 3 hours of dead air.
And now for the debate coverage.
Happiest state in the union? Care to guess?
Oh, happy. Oh, you
happiest
know me.
State in America.
You know me. I want to know the metrics. Is it like the least amount of road rage?
Let me look here. Work-life balance. Maintaining an emotional support network.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hawaii.
Yes.
Oh. Well, I just guessed. You know why? Have you been to Hawaii? It's really hard to be in a bad mood when you're in Hawaii, except for the wildfires.
Did I read somewhere, though, that of all the 50 states, Hawaii, and maybe I heard wrong, you have to apply to move there? You can't just move to Hawaii like you would move to Missouri or Arkansas or Texas.
Correct.
It is correct?
I have never heard that.
That you have to apply.
How and why and under what?
Rule of law, would one have to apply to move somewhere? I do not know. Sam, do you have time to look that up?
Can you imagine the state of Kansas or Missouri saying, look, we would love to have your business, but you're going to need to apply before we let you in.
That's
here.
What I've heard about Hawaii. Care to guess number two? Hawaii's number one.
Colorado.
No. Not even in the top 10.
Wow. Maine.
No.
Okay, I got nothing.
I'm going to go backwards order.
Okay.
Number 10, happiest state in the union, Massachusetts. Number 9, and for good reason, Nebraska.
Okay.
Number 8, Idaho. Number 7, Connecticut. Number 6, Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Have you ever been?
It's like 1,000 degrees below zero. No,
it's
I would not
beautiful.
Go there.
Beautiful. Number 5, Delaware. Number 4, Utah. Number 3, I find this hard to believe, New Jersey. Number 2, Maryland. Unhappiest state. Go.
Michigan.
Louisiana.
Oh.
Beaten only by Arkansas, West Virginia, Tennessee, New Mexico, Alaska.
Yeah.
Alabama, Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Kentucky.
Okay, I'm getting conflating information depending on which link I click on and which set of rules I find.
Yeah.
Some say that you need a permit just to move there. Some say you don't need a permit to move there, but you need a permit to get a job. It's going to be kind of hard to live there if you don't have a job.
You know, you could be retired and rich.
And others say that you need a permit for both.
Okay.
Okay. So win the lottery first, and then aloha.
Right, we have a lot of stories in the stack, but I do want to just mention that at some point today, we will be talking about the mother who waited on hold while she was crowning with child, giving birth at home because she could not get through to 911. And then, Scott, this story just now from Fox 4, we have a problem here, people. Kansas City family loses their home to fire after long 911 wait time.
Mm.
Listen to this.
Okay.
A dire emergency. As issues with emergency wait times in Kansas City keep growing, Mayor Quentin Lucas says the time to act has passed. He is demanding the Board of Police Commissioners address this problem this week. The board, by the way, met this morning at 9:30. I love Kansas City, but if they can't respond to emergencies faster, why should I put my family on the line? Quoting here from Jesse Malloy, who lost his home in a fire after waiting on hold with 911. Fox 4 asked Mayor Lucas, is this the difference between a safer Kansas City or not? And he replied, yes, yes, it absolutely is. On Monday, the mayor posted on X about the story I just told you about, the mom delivering the baby at home, waiting on hold for nearly 20 minutes to get through to 911, all right?
Okay.
Now we are seeing the issue through the eyes of a Kansas City family of four with one on the way without a home after their long wait on hold time for help as they watched their house go up in flames. In video provided to Fox 4 by Malloy, you can see and hear his neighbors scrambling to the Malloy house to make sure they had all made it out. What they didn't know is the Malloys got in the car and drove themselves to the fire department for help because they could not get through with a call to 911.
Okay.
It's a serious issue.
Follow me here. Their house is on fire.
I got it.
It was faster, like with the old cable company, to get in your car and just drive there and try to get help than it was to wait on hold with 911. Firefighters, by the way, didn't get there for 15 minutes.
Well, let me ask you this. I get it. I don't get it, but can mildly understand. If you're calling 911 because somebody's breaking into your car, or you think somebody's breaking into your house.
Sure.
And there are more crimes than there are fires and heart attacks.
By far.
In Kansas. You would agree with that?
By far.
Okay. So if it takes a little bit more time for the police to get to my house, I can kind of sort of understand it. I don't like it, but I kind of sort of understand it. With the fire department, why does it take 15 minutes? Or is the problem at the 911 call center?
Well, and that's part of why they were pushing for the change to when you call 911, you're given a three-dial option, one for police, two for
non-emergency,
fire, and three for ambulance.
And here's the other deal, Scott. Why can't we you don't want to bog the system down with too many choices, but one of the choices needs to be my house is on fire.
That's line three.
Because that is so rare. It does happen, but in the scheme of all of the calls that come in.
Oh, that's rare.
You know, choking hazard, like someone is actively choking, actively having a heart attack, and my home is on fire, need to go right to the front.
Mm-hmm.
My car has been broken into. We're sorry, we'll get to you.
Yeah, we're going to triage that to the back of the line.
Correct.
And if we're going to regionalize it, why can 911 call centers in other parts of the metro not dispatch fire in, say, Kansas City? For example, the one time that I had to call 911 recently, I got through right away because I was close enough to the state line that I got the dispatch center on the Kansas side of the state line. They then told me, oh, you're in Kansas City, Missouri. Please hold while we transfer you to a dispatch center there.
You're saying why can't if you accidentally get rerouted, which is what happened to that poor family in Prairie Village where they lost their mother because they were bouncing around back and forth from Prairie Village to Leawood to Kansas City when that child was on the phone trying to beg for help. Why can't the Kansas side straight line this from point A to point B when you are calling in with something like your house is on fire?
I mean, I was witnessing a crime in progress on the plaza, and I was at 95th before I even spoke to a human being, so, other than for them to say, oh, you're in Kansas City, Missouri, let's transfer you.
Are you talking about them transferring the call, or are you saying if I'm on the plaza or let's say I live in West Plaza.
Yeah.
Right? My house is on fire. I get routed to Johnson County Fire District 2 Why can't they just come over and put out the fire?
No, why can't they?
Dispatch center dispatch the fire department that covers your area? Why did they have to then send you to the dispatch center that's obviously struggling? Because these problems aren't happening 5 minutes away across
my
the state line.
My guess is the Kansas side would say, hell no.
Yeah, we don't pay our people to do that.
Figure out your own blank with your own tax dollars that Mayor Lucas says is sitting right there. He says the pot of money's there. I don't know how to make it better. I do like the idea of one for fire, but it almost needs to be active fire. Your house is on fire. Not my carbon monoxide beeper is going off.
But that's like saying 911 is supposed to be for an emergency, and people are calling in saying, I got the wrong order at Taco Bell.
Well, which does happen. It's also abuse of the system.
Mm-hmm. And those people should be fined.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, so we were talking about this house fire in Kansas City where the homeowners decided they couldn't get through to 911, so we're just going to drive to the fire department and let them know that our house is on fire, and that will be quicker. Then we have this other story from Channel 9. We'll play this story in just a moment.
Oh, God.
Where a mother says that she and her newborn son are lucky to be alive after helpers were unable to reach 911 in Kansas City for emergency help after a difficult birth with her daughter Olive in the hospital, resulting in her first 6 days in the neonatal intensive care unit. Devin Brown decided to give birth to her son Wells at home with the help of a midwife.
Oh my gosh.
Here is the story from Channel 9.
We are recovering tonight after a terrifying birth story. It's an issue KNBC 9 Investigates has been digging into for more than a year. Long wait times when you call 911. Good evening. I'm Laura Moritz.
And I'm Chris Katz. Mom and baby are okay, but they face a long recovery. We begin with KNBC 9's Andy Alcock with how this happened.
In that time, we called 911 three times, and we were put on hold each time.
Devin Brown recalls the near-death experience of giving birth to her son, Wells.
Why?
Because I'm going to tell Wellsie's story, baby.
After a difficult hospital birth for her daughter, Olive, Devin decided to give birth to Wells at home with a midwife. She nearly bled to death.
I thought to myself, I'm not going to make it. And hopefully my son does, and my husband can raise them.
Unable to reach KCMO 911, Devin's sister called their father in Overland Park. He called 911 there and help arrived, but Wells was not breathing.
It wasn't until I got to the hospital and the paramedics opened the doors and said he has a heartbeat that I knew he was at least there.
Our lives are forever changed, right? Even if this goes as well as we hope it does, just the feeling of helplessness.
It's hard sharing my time between the NICU and this little girl.
Following the traumatic incident, the front steps in front of the home were cleaned with bleach. While the family was at the hospital, friends came and covered the bleach marks with chalk.
To come home and see the rainbow drips instead of a big bleach mark was, we've been calling them glimmers, little things each day that we can hold on to that bring us joy.
The whole family has been able to hold Wells, to touch him, to show their love for him, and he's improving. But the permanent damage he may have suffered while waiting for help is not yet known.
I want to read one of the quotes that did not make it into Andy's story that's in the online version of this story. This is quoting here from Mom. I got up while bleeding, my umbilical cord hanging out of me, and walked out of our house and got onto a stretcher. They took me, and I just don't feel like I was in my body at that point. I was in shock. We didn't know if he was alive. And read that again. I got up bleeding with my umbilical cord hanging out of me, all right? And I don't want to hear on the text line or otherwise, well, that's why you have a baby in a hospital. You know, home births, for the most part, under most circumstances, are perfectly safe.
That's true.
It is their right to do that. It is also your expectation as a taxpayer that if something goes wrong in a moment as critical as a birth, that someone answers that call. I don't understand put on hold three times when the first words out of her mouth had to have been, this baby is coming out and he's not breathing. Who is placing her on hold at that point?
You don't get to speak to anybody.
It just is hold, Sam? Because yep. She says it was three times. So how does it work?
Now, go ahead, and then I want to read something farther down in the story.
You call. It's an automated message. Okay. And then you go on hold. We'll be with you shortly.
Oh, God.
We care about your emergency, whatever it says. And then they put you on hold. Okay. And part of the reason it took so long to speak to somebody is, and I'm not blaming her because she was frantic and freaking out and thought she was going to die.
And rightfully so.
Was hanging up and calling back.
Yeah. So later down in the story, listen to this, both of you.
Okay.
On the day that Wells was born, Saturday, August 31st, the average 911 wait time was 51 seconds.
Right.
Okay. The longest wait time that day was 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 20 seconds. Let me read that again.
Yeah.
1 hour, 29 minutes, and 20 seconds. Jamie in Topeka. Jamie, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I used to be a 911 dispatcher. I dispatched for about 18 years. I left the profession about 8 years ago. When I first started at our facility, which is a medium-sized city in Kansas, we had 10 dispatchers on duty at a time to handle all of the telephone and radio traffic. And by the time I left, 18 years later, we were down to 6 to 7 people on duty at a time to handle all of that traffic. And the way I understand it today, because I still have many friends that are dispatchers, they have 4 people on duty now to answer phones.
Down
and
from 10.
Take care of all of the radio traffic. It is absolutely an officer safety issue,
yeah.
A public safety issue. There's just not enough people in those chairs. And part of the reason there's no people in the chairs is because they get used and abused over and over and over again. You know, on average, they're working 70 hours a week, maybe 80, you know, and when you have children, how are you supposed to arrange for daycare at 2:30 in the morning when you get forced back into work?
Yeah.
Because folks are getting forced left and right to cover all of these shifts, which is understandable because it's a safety issue for everybody, but there's just not enough people to go around.
Let me ask you this. I've always heard that the turnover rate is extremely high, too, that the retention rate is extremely low. How long does it take to get trained and up and running and have a full-time job as a dispatcher? And is that part of the issue?
That is definitely part of it. I used to train some of our new people. It took, on average, between 6 to 9 months from day one until they were released on their own. And it didn't require that a second person be listening in to everything that they do.
Can I ask you roughly what does it pay?
I understand that the starting pay now is somewhere in the $20 an hour range. So, I mean, it's decent, sort of. They could definitely throw more money at it, but I don't know if that's going to fix the problem. I feel like they almost need to figure out a way to cap the hours so that people aren't basically giving up their entire life to work there, because that's what it requires at this point in time. You don't get a personal life.
And you were mentioning working 70 hours a week. I'm assuming that the 30 hours over that is overtime?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay, so it's a lot of work, but if you get the overtime, it does pay well.
It does pay well. I mean, you know, and at $20 an hour and time and a half, you're able to make ends meet and have a decent life. But the problem is you have no time to enjoy that life. Right. I mean, you can't make anything. Not birthdays, not family functions, not, you know, parent-teacher conferences, mm-hmm. anything. Not soccer games, football games, stuff like that. I had 3 kids, and I missed out on a whole lot of their stuff.
Jamie, appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
Yeah. All the money in the world doesn't matter
that's
when you
exactly
don't have
right.
time to spend
that's
it.
That's exactly right. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Somebody on the text line writes in, I won't give your number away. I don't want you to get in trouble. Current dispatcher, the job is 20 times harder than it was 17 years ago. Starting nowadays, you can't find people to pass a background check or a typing test.
Huh. Okay, typing test is important.
Yeah.
As they are relaying information to fire department or EMS. Let's talk about the background check, because we had a woman who had something on her credit or something like an old unpaid parking ticket.
It was an
unpaid
parking ticket from like 25 years ago.
Yeah. Let's talk about the background check. You know, if you are a serial killer or a rapist, I think we could all agree we don't want those people handling the 911 calls. If you had an unpaid parking ticket 25 years ago,
who cares?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to this line, and you and I were talking about this during the break.
Yeah.
On the day that Wells was born, and that Wells is the baby in the story.
The baby boy, yes.
That we played from Channel 9. On the day that Wells was born, Saturday, August 31st, so about 11 days ago, the average 911 wait time was 51 seconds, okay? The longest wait time, 911 in Kansas City that day, was 1 hour, 29 minutes, and 20 seconds. How is that even remotely in any world possible? 1 hour and 30 minutes. No.
So I said to Scott during the break, Sam, is it a crapshoot? When your emergency happens, is it just a crapshoot? At that point in time during that day, it's either 33 seconds, 58 seconds, or 1 hour, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And it basically a crapshoot based on how many bodies they have in the room at the time, how many non-emergencies are clogging the system at the time, like all of those things.
But let's do some rudimentary math here. If the average wait time on that day was 51 seconds, okay?
That's factoring in the hour.
Right, but what I'm saying is, yeah, you're right. So it was probably much less, probably 20, 25 seconds.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Thank you. I didn't even think about that. That means that somebody had to take roughly 90 to 100 calls before they got to that call. There's no way at any given moment you have 90 calls coming in at the same time. There's no way. Am I right or am I right?
You got to get up and go to the bathroom at some point.
All right. Is it a 9-week boom boom? What are you dealing with in there?
That's what I'm saying, though, is to Dana's point. It is you're just luck of the draw. How many calls are coming in right now? How many people are sitting at their desk? How many people are already on the line? Because thank God somebody who had an emergency got through and was able to actually talk to somebody. And they can't just be like, OK, great. Have a good one and hang up.
Linda in Kansas City. Linda, hello.
Hi. So I say that you privatize at least part of the 911 system, even if it's like a rollover center for calls that aren't being answered, and maybe even have a two-tiered system where the calls coming in go through, like, say, a lesser tier that says, oh, my dog's stuck in the tree. And then, oh, I'm having a baby in my living room. Okay, well, dog stuck in the tree. You're going to go in this hold.
Right.
Lady giving birth in the bath or in the living room, you're going to be in the priority immediately
queue.
Get in.
Yes, the queue.
And at least have a two-tiered system where you're, you know, it's not taking up valuable time of the actual dispatchers that dispatch the help to them.
Linda, I'm going to be honest. I've never seen a dog in a tree.
Well, I know. I couldn't fathom. That's how I improvise, not very well.
Linda, you're doing great.
Hey, have a great afternoon, okay?
Thank you as well.
I don't dislike the idea of privatizing it.
Well, and they can't, like, you know, I thought to myself for a second, because I work another job where you eat in the back, and if it gets busy, the expectation is
you're going to come up.
You stop eating.
Yeah.
Right? But in this situation, it is so set in stone, you have this hour to eat. You better eat in that hour, right? And so they're not going to be like, oh, we got 75 calls coming in. Let me put down my sandwich and not eat for the rest of the day because all of a sudden 75 calls are coming in. Whereas if you privatize it, it won't be held to those strict restrictions where the bureaucracy takes over. For example, when I was at the DMV and waited for an hour and a half and watched the entire staff go on lunch break right in front of my eyes at the same time.
Let's go to Dave in Liberty. Dave, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Dana. I'm going to preface my original remark with one thing. $20 an hour taking calls from people who could possibly be having the worst, most terrifying day of their life or moment of their life is ridiculous. There are people working retail making $5 less an hour than somebody who is possibly dealing with life and death situations at any given point. And some of those could be the most traumatic phone call that you've ever heard in your life. And you have to deal with that also. Now, to my second point, I remember reading an article in the Star probably 7-8 years ago that they were doing a review about 911 calls and why it takes this time, but it really wasn't an issue back then. But what it was, they had one gentleman that was calling 911 every single day. And every single day they had to send an ambulance to his house because they didn't know if at this point it was going to be a real emergency
right.
or he was just feeling bad.
Okay, but at some point, so then you have to, I don't want to say you have to go to jail, but there has to be someone that steps in and says, look, there's clearly an issue with this person, not only clogging the system, but something going on clogging upstairs, if you know what I mean. Let's get this person appropriate services.
And I agree with that, but if there's just one, or there's just one they're talking about, there could be another 25, 30, 40 of these people doing the same thing, jamming up that system. But I think the first thing they've got to do, they've got to pay these people better, because it is a job I wouldn't want to have to do every single day for hours on end.
I did the math. If you work 40 hours per week, it's $41,000 a year.
Yeah. Not for what they do. Not for what they do.
I agree.
After taxes, you're walking away with 30 grand.
I was going to say that's before tax. Mm-hmm. By the way, there is a grocery store right now advertising shelf stocking jobs for $2 less an hour.
Yeah.
They're hiring 13,000.
Well, the mayor is speaking, I believe this story said from Channel 9, speaking to the police commissioners today. Why not say we need to pay these people more? I mean, this isn't 1988 anymore. $7.25 isn't going to cut it. You've got to pay these people a livable wage, especially for the job that they do. Andy in Liberty. Howdy.
Hey there. I was actually going to go on almost the exact same rant that Dave did. Maybe it's a Liberty thing, but good job, Dave.
Yeah.
I also wanted to just a couple things with the two-tiered system, as far as, you know, diverting calls. That sounds good in theory, but all that will happen is people, once they find out that if you say you have a fire, somebody's going to come out. That's what everyone's going to say.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They do that at all the hospitals and doctor offices. So that sounds good, but I really don't think it would work. And then as far as like the background checks and everything go, I don't know that the background checks that they do are necessarily insufficient. I suspect that those outliers, like the lady who had a parking ticket 25 years ago or whatever, those are probably outliers.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah.
Andy, I hope. Here's what I know. If your home is actively on fire or you have an umbilical cord hanging out of your body, that goes to the front. That goes to the front of the line.
I would agree. I'm not laughing
at you. It's shocking that we're even having this conversation.
Well, Dana, it is remarkable that in this day and age, you have a better chance of getting the fire department's attention, not because of the fire department, but because of the 911 system in this city, if you drive to the fire department instead of reach for your phone. You have a better chance of getting the fire department to come to your home if you drive to the fire department.
And keep in mind, 85 to 90%, it's an arbitrary number that I have no proof of these calls that they're dealing with are nothing.
I didn't get enough taco sauce at Taco Bell.
I mean, dog stuck in a tree? Come on.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. We now have the audio from the moment that Tyreek Hill was pulled over in Miami on Sunday.
It's something.
We also have a copy of the ticket that he received.
Hmm.
We also have audio of one of the officers when he finds out it's Tyreek going, oh, blank, that's Tyreek. We will be unpacking that in the 3 o'clock hour.
I believe the direct quote was, oh, really? Blank.
But Scott had a good point out in the newsroom, like as if it weren't Tyreek Hill, what happened would have been okay.
Yeah.
We've seen the video.
Oh, my gosh.
Where they yank him out of the car by his arm.
Yep. Oh, we'll break it down.
We'll get to that in the 3 o'clock hour. And then a rather unfortunate broadcasting moment. The word is crunch, sir.
Yes, crunch. Which we could play on the air.
Love me some CTC.
But that's not what the news anchor said.
It's a cereal. Crunch.
So wing and a miss.
Lisa in Overland Park. Hello, Lisa.
Hi. I was actually calling about the whole police 911 and KCMO. Okay. I used to work for the Kansas City, Kansas side 20 years ago. And, you know, the man that called saying that, you know, getting paid $20 an hour is, like, I guess not enough for people to help other people. You know, some people, I think, need to come down off their horse. And, yes, you do have to make enough money to support your family and support yourself. But I make less than that, and I'm able to support myself and my son. And I would rather do what I do helping other people than to go back into an executive position. I still, to this day, being on some of those calls, I actually got PTSD from some of these calls, being on some of these calls, because the stuff that you hear, you never forget, because you're not allowed to get off that call until, you know, the officer arrives and releases you. At least that's how it was when I worked in KCK. And some of the stuff was pretty daunting, to say the least. And when you go home at night, you relive that in your brain over. I still relive some of those calls.
Hey, Lisa.
And
at the conclusion of one of those traumatic calls, were you allowed to take a moment and regroup? And are there services available?
Decompress.
Like decompress a little bit, or no?
There are, at the time, there were services. Like I said, I worked on the KCK side. There were services, and depending on how busy it was, I worked the night shift, so it stayed pretty busy. But we were, depending on the level of the call, if I can give one example, I had a man call, and I'm not going to get too graphic, but basically he got shot in his stomach. And he was calling, you know, for help, obviously. And as I'm talking to him, he's saying, his stomach is falling out. My stomach is falling out. What do I do? What do I do? You know, what do you do when I call like that? Like, the man was holding his intestines when the policeman got there, is what it turned out to be. And it was like, I didn't know what to do. Like, when the officer got on the phone and said, we got it, we're here, he's basically not going to make it, but we're taking him in. And it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And yeah, I did. I mean, I took a few minutes, but they train you that you have to live in that moment, take care of that person the best that you can over the phone until live people get there, whether it's the fire department or police or whoever. And then once you hang up, you kind of have to just reset the best you can. And if we're busy, you had to move on to the next call. Well, that was it.
Lisa, speaking of moving on to the next call, we're going to do just that. But very quickly, quick answer here. What do you think a fair salary for a dispatcher would be?
In this day and time, gosh, I don't know. I'd say on the low end, compared to what I made back then, on the low end now, I would say at least 30.
And Lisa, I'm going to tell you, after that 60. Story, we're going to go 60.
Yeah, I was going to say 60 grand. I mean, for
I'm in an hour.
A job for a job as important as that, 30 grand? No way. You can make that at McDonald's. Alex in Iowa, you get the last word. Hello.
How's it going, guys? I know we're at the top of the hour, so I'll make it short and sweet.
Okay.
Up here in Polk County, up here in Iowa, we've got Westcom that directs basically, it's like an old AT&T call taker. Just you're in the county, you go to county, you're in the city, you go to city, and they take your information and what's going on and stuff like that and get you directed. For outside in the county, if like, but one of my the counties that I know had the tornado went through, they lost their phones, everything gets sent off to the county next to it. So then it's kind of like a mutual aid type of thing. And we're not one big state under one 911 system like what happened with a couple 911 systems in the U.S. where one goes down, the whole state goes down. So we kind of, it's kind of like a spider web, and we just kind of help each other out. And maybe that's what's got to happen is other counties, other cities got to kind of commingle and direct calls until they get enough people, because law enforcement, it's you're getting burned out.
All right, man. Hey, got to stop you there. Do appreciate the call. Don't forget, we have the presidential debate coming up tonight. Our coverage begins at 8 o'clock. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.